Good morning. Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate that. Very thankful to Dr. and Mrs. Hartley for sending me the email. Reverend Ralph Brown, good friend. Of course, the Brown family is a good friend of ours. And so it was through the Browns when Dan and Carol were here. My wife and I came here, and we are thankful to Stony Brooks for putting us on the support. The introduction was already mentioned, so I'm not going to go into details, but I have a little bit of a slideshow that I would like to show you to give you an idea, because the church is part of this ministry ever since the ministry got started. I have been in ministry for 44 years, but Asian Concerns International, or ACI, did not exist at that time. It got started in 2012 because the ministry in India was growing and there were more requests from the neighboring countries to have something, what we were doing. And it's a unique kind of ministry in some ways, so we decided to go ahead with that. And some of you may know Tom Brown, Ralph's son, Dan's older brother. He is the chairman of our committee. It's a 501c3 not-for-profit organization, and we are ministering in Asia, so I'll give you a little bit of idea about that. But before that, I'd like to mention some things on the table there. We have, it's not the latest, but July issue of the newsletter, so you can have a copy of that if you want to know a little bit more. Again, if you want to know a little bit more about Asian Concerns International, there is a brochure just to give you a bird's eye view of things from the organization. And if you want to know a little bit about my wife and I'm pretty sure you would like to know more about her than me. She couldn't be, and the reason for that is because it's a piece of missions history in our house. Amy Carmichael was the pioneer missionary that went to India and started saving girls from the Hindu temples because they were being thrown as curse to the family to be the entertainers or prostitutes in the temple, basically. So Amy Carmichael went and first of all stole these girls and then got the legal permission to have them. And so thousands of them have been saved. And my wife was one of those, not from the temple, but she was brought to the fellowship, which is known as Donauer Fellowship. So Amy Carmichael was still alive when my wife was brought, and so it's a little bit of history there. If you would like to pray for us, there is a prayer card with the magnetic strip at the back, so you can put it on your refrigerator and pray for us. And then last but not the least, most people like these, especially Reverend Brown. He's a pen collector. And every time I give him, he just keeps, and his wife, Polly, keeps on saying, "Ralph, you have so many, but I need more." This pen is a special one. It has the light. So I have three different colors there. They all are blue ink. But if you like to pray for us, and it has, of course, Asian Concerns International with the website and the phone number as well. So anytime you want to go on a mission trip or something like that, you can get more information there. So let me click on the PowerPoint and very quickly give you an idea about what ACI is all about. And then we'll have the sharing from the Word of God as well. My wife couldn't come because she works for Bank of America, and even on Saturday, so she comes pretty late from there, and I had to leave early in order to get here at dinner time. And I'm very thankful to Bob, Amy, Gould, you say? Goods for their hospitality in keeping me at their house. Their family is lovely, and we had little game and lovely food and fellowship. So I'm very, very thankful for that. Thank you very much. You have an open invitation to come to our house. Thank you for your hospitality. When you come to our house, we'll also hospitalize you. That was a joke. A missionary was trying to reach a Sikh family in western state of Punjab. So he invited them to, the missionary family invited them to their house. And when the Sikh family was leaving the house, he said, "Thank you very much for your hospitality. When you come to our house, we will hospitalize you." So that was the background. My wife and I, we've been married for 40 years. We have a little family. One member of the family is missing, the third grandchild who's not here. So this one is a little old picture. Our son, Our son, his wife, Russian lady, very beautiful, violinist and all. They're a very good team, worship team. Their son and their daughter, and they have another son. Our daughter and her husband, a Malaysian Indian, so they live in New Zealand, so family is literally all over the world. This is where the ministry got started in India, and Delhi was the place. I was with Far East Broadcasting, FEBC Radio International, some of you may know about that, and broadcasting from Seychelles right here into this country and the 36 other countries. And the thought came to, actually the listeners who were writing us very good questions about Christ, the desire was to see them come to know Christ, and so I started listeners rallies, or we call them seekers conferences, and that's how the seekers conferences got started in India. And then back to the Bible and Transworld Radio, people also approached me how you do it, so they've been doing it. Transworld Radio has more than 10,000 churches in India, and as a result of our seekers conferences, we have quite a few as well, more than 500 or so now. So when you look at Asia, there are countries that are with unreached people groups. So India tops, then China, Pakistan, Bangladesh. So it's basically this part of the world. I'm not able to get this to work for me. 1040 window you are familiar with. This is really the region which is the most unreached area of the world. 61% or more number of people live here. So when you think of 7 billion plus people, more than 61%. So much crowded area here with the least. So it says 56 countries, and that's where Asian Concerns International came into being. I put that as 53 countries because there are some countries that have merged, and it's a different story to really capture that. So this is my work area, and we got started in 2012 in India, but the desire was to have the conference in this area where you have Bhutan, Nepal, Bangladesh right here, and Myanmar, Burma here. So we had people from all these countries in 2012, and they expressed the desire to have training conferences and seekers conferences. Seekers conference, I've been to 13 countries in the region, and they've never heard about seekers conferences. They have seekers, they have people who are looking for truth, but they do not have the resources or even expertise to do that. So I've been training people in these countries. So I take teams from the US, and we have a very kind of structured program for our seekers and also for the pastors. For the seekers, we start from creation, fall of man, sin, and talk about life of Christ, how they can accept Christ, and then persecution is part of the teaching, and how they can grow. So it's roughly about 3 to 4 days that we bring them together, about 100 people or so. And those who accept Christ, we give them the opportunity to come forward for baptism, and a number of them have been baptized. 400 plus, almost 500 churches have been started from these brand new Christians from Hindu, Muslim, and other religious backgrounds. So that's what basically ACI is doing. And for the Christian Leaders Conference, we have the life of the pastor, so spiritual growth, church administration, a little bit of that. Stewardship is very much part of our teaching, and how they can nurture their congregation, because 85 to 90% of the participants that attend our conferences have never ever been to a conference, never ever been to a Bible school, never known about the formal training. They are from tribal belts, and more than 500 people now have come into full-time ministry as a result of our seekers, the pastors' conferences as well. This is the first group that met in 2009 in Rochester, because a lot of Nepalese were moving into Rochester and there was a need to do something about that. Somebody approached me, Pastor Jose. They have a Hispanic church. So he approached me, and we started, my wife and I started with 14 people. That's the original group, Nepalese. And then God blessed our efforts. And we actually went up to 150 or so. Then we decided to go into a bigger building. And now the last year, I decided to hand it over to the Nepali pastor who's somewhere here, right here. He was my assistant, and trained him over the 4 years period. And then they are doing very, very good now, trying to reach the other community members as well. So that's also has been going on. So this is my really workplace, India. Well, these are the countries that we have had the seekers conferences and also Christian leaders conferences: Nepal, Bhutan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Cambodia, Malaysia, Indonesia, and the Philippines was just 10 days ago, so I just got back from there. So just to give you an idea, please pray for the safety. Last week I was traveling on Malaysia airline, and the plane was literally shaking because the weather wasn't good, and having known the record of the company, we literally started praying. So it happens sometimes. One time I hadn't buckled up myself, and sudden turbulence threw me off, and I hit the cabinets on top of me. So it was not good. So please pray for safety. Also, for the seekers conferences, people are coming by hundreds through the ministry. Last year we have seen 350 people who have come to know Christ and now growing in the Lord from Hindu and Muslim backgrounds. So just to give you an idea, in Bangladesh we had 75 people with their wives. It never happens in a Muslim country. First time ever in the history of the country this was done. And there were two people who were not on board. They said, well, you have called us to turn us into Christians. So they went to the local mosque and brought the mob from there, and they had the riots and all kinds of things. But the people who had just accepted Christ, 31 of them were baptized, they came forward and they said, you can't do this. You are attacking us. We are now members of the community. So 22 of them belonged to the same village. When they went back to the village, the villagers already had information that these 22 people are coming into the village. They are Christians now. And they were welcomed by beating. Their houses were burned down and all kinds of things. And these new Believers, they said, we will not go to the police because now we know the Lord. So, you know, those kind of things are happening. So that was a huge impact on the community. So I will be going back to Bangladesh, God willing, next year. So Seekers Conference, extremely important. And then National Christian Leaders Conferences as we do that. And persecution is a huge, huge, huge thing in these countries in Asia. India is going through severe persecution right now. In fact, today they had their protest against persecution. So thousands of Christians got together and to bring it to the attention of the government. Pray for my wife as she is usually home alone when I'm gone, and for finances for the countries, these different conferences. So this was just to give you an idea, because the church is a supporter of ACI, and it's my joy and privilege to give you an update. So thank you very much for that. Very quickly, we'll look at the Word of God. The basis of our ministry is, the verse is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, and I will just read it for you. And the things you have heard me, Paul says to Timothy, say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. So it's the discipleship process being continued, and that's what ACI basically is involved in doing. For this morning, I thought it would be nice for us to look at some scripture in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 33, and I will read some verses starting at 12, and I won't read the whole till the end of the chapter, but maybe till 18, verse 18. Reading from NIV. Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for this time together. And as we meditate on your word, Lord, just pray that you will give us your grace and help us, Lord, to pay attention to your word and get all the glory for yourself. Bless us together, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Since I have all my notes right up here, so I'm just going to quickly browse through, and you can see that too. Because of the formation, I think it's the word says, the sentence says, sometimes the past can be discouraging. Sometimes the past can be very encouraging when we look back, say, oh, those good old days, and we rejoice in those. But sometimes our past may not be so encouraging. When I sit down and look at my past without Christ, especially 44 years ago, when I used to carry this big knife and all drugged up and everything else, beating up cops and things like that, that past really does not encourage me at all. But I get something out of that, is the glory to God that when he actually caught me and brought me to himself, then the things begin to change. So sometimes, maybe in your life as well, when you sit back and look at this things in the past, maybe they are not all that great. And this is what exactly was happening with the people of Israel in the book of Exodus in chapter 32. We find people were complaining, where is this guy Moses? Because he went to meet the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. There was no email or text or WhatsApp or phone call from the guy. The senior pastor is missing. 40 days, long vacation. And the congregation began to disappear. And they go to the assistant pastor, Aaron. They say, we need something. So the golden calf came into being. And the associate pastor gave in to their demand. God was very angry with the idea. And Moses was very angry with the idea. In chapter 32, of course, 19, we see Moses was so angry. He did have temper. He even became angry with God at one point, you might remember, when God said, speak to the rock, and he goes and he hits the rock. Okay, shall I get you this water from Marah? So he was sometimes an angry man. It can happen with servants of God. They can be angry as well. 3,000 people were killed in chapter 32, we find. And then there was chaos, confusion in the camp. People of Israel, they went through a very tragic time in their history. And there were all kinds of questions in the minds of the people. Shall we go ahead with the promise that God has given us into the promised land? And we find Moses in chapter 33 arguing the same thing with God and simply saying, look, I've had it enough. This congregation is a difficult one. They keep bothering me, right? If I put it in today's term. And the congregation was saying the same thing to Moses too. You go on long vacation, man. And Moses was arguing with the Lord and said, look, if you are not going to go with me, please, please don't send me henceforth. You know, don't let me go. It's a difficult job. And leading huge crowd of people, as we know, there was really a challenge for Moses. So that was the situation. This is the background that Moses and everybody else was going through. And so Moses keeps on arguing. Okay, Moses said to the Lord, you know, verse 12 I just now read, okay, if you don't really go with me, that's not going to happen. I will not go. I'm tired and sick of hearing the same old rhetoric from your people. And he was not willing to go forward. But in verse 14, the Lord replied to Moses, my presence will go with you when I will give you rest. Sometimes, you know, we can ask, what difference is God's presence going to make? You know, we need a strategy here. These days, so many churches and Christian organizations and everybody else is looking for a strategy to go forward, 10-year plan or whatever. And then people are really wondering whether the presence of God will actually help them. And that question can actually be asked very easily. What does that really mean? God being with us, we don't see him, but when it comes to leading with the congregation, we don't actually see him sitting on the chair, making those decisions and telling everybody, this is my will, that's what I want you to do. How does God's presence help us? The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. Quickly moving, our problems give us headaches. We all know that. And we look for Advil or whatever painkiller that we might be looking for. They make our life miserable. They make our nights sleepless. They cause all kinds of confusion and division within the family, within the congregation. And of course, there is all kinds of things beyond that in the community and all of that. But God's presence puts to rest our headaches, our miserable feelings, our you know, and grants us good peace and rest. That's what the Bible says, and brings clarity in our life and decision making in the church, and the body of Christ is united. God's presence, first of all, gives us rest. That's what the Bible says. That's what God said. Psalm chapter 23, verse 1 to 3, we all know it by heart. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. That simply means renews, rejuvenates, revives, brings life into it. I find rest and peace, a new direction. That's what literally it means. God's presence. When we are in His presence, that's what we find. That's what God meant when He was talking to Moses. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. Psalm 62, verse 1. We find rest in God alone. Come unto me, Jesus said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. When we come to Him, when we experience His presence, we find rest in Him. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. God said to a promise to Moses, God's presence gives us rest. Second thing we find, God's presence gives us joy. Where do we find that? Psalm 16, verse 11. You made me known to me and path of life, the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. My wife and I just got married 40 years ago. And about 10 days ago, decided to give her a surprise party. Came back from the Philippines. I was getting in touch with people, and I said, can you make it to the party? I sent out 120 invitations. I wasn't expecting all of them. 70 people showed up in 1 week. That's a great thing. And so the guy at the restaurant, I could find the place, he really collaborated with us very well. So we were all stuck in one room, big room, 70 people, all dark room. And a lady from the church brought my wife in. She said, oh, I haven't taken you for your birthday, which was 2 days before. I will treat you for birthday. We'll go to this restaurant. So she takes her there. The guy comes, the owner comes. Madam, what kind of drinks would you like? You know, just joking around. Oh, I don't drink, sir. Oh, you don't drink? Then this is not the room for you. Come, I'll take you to another room. So he escorted her to the, you know, it was very emotional, escorted her to the dark room. There is nobody here. So he turned on the lights and everybody was there. Happy anniversary. So she was surprised. It brings joy when we meet our dear ones. And 44 years ago, 45 years ago, when there was a talk of me getting married to her, the only desire I had was to spend as much time as I could with her. Not that I don't want to do that now, but it brings joy to us when we meet with our dear ones and spend time, quality time with them. It gives us much more joy when we spend that time with the Lord. In His presence, joy. We find that that's what the Bible says. Surely you have granted eternal blessings and made him glad with the joy of your presence. Psalm 21 and verse 6. Moving on. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy in his dwelling places. Where God dwells when we go and dwell with him. Spend time with him. There is nothing but joy in his presence. May God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. When we trust in Him, we spend time with Him, and in His presence, of course, we find joy, as Paul says. Third, God's presence gives us not just rest, not just joy, but it also gives us courage in life's battle, and all of us have some kind of battle. Something that might not be a battle for you, which is in my life, maybe a battle for you in your own life, at your level. We all go through those mountains in life or battles in life when we have to make some of those very serious decisions. Moses says to Joshua in Deuteronomy 31, then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them. And you must divide it among them. The Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. When the Lord is with us in the battles that we are going to fight in life, it becomes much more easier and simpler because He's the one who is fighting for us. Romans 8:31. If God is for us, which also means with us, fighting for us, then who can be against us? God's presence gives us courage to fight the battles in life as well. It also gives us rest and joy. Fourth one, very quickly. I'm having trouble with this working. God's presence gives us comfort in trials when we go through life's different issues. But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, so fire, water, river, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. I mean, this is our God, that we trust in Him. He is our God, living God. He's not a Hindu or a Muslim or a Sikh God. The one who created us and the world is promising His presence, that we will not get burned, we will not be harmed in any way. Isaiah 43. In other words, we find Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego literally in the fire. Not a man-made story, right? But it's true. Literally in the fire. And the king says, lo, I see four men loose, not bound. Four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. Walking in the midst of the fire. The fire that was actually set ablaze seven times more. Earlier we read in the chapter. Because people were so angry. Let's put more fire into the furnace. So these guys, as soon as they get in there, they are completely consumed. Nothing happened. Four people, because God's presence, the Son of God Himself, came down in the fire and stood with them. Last but not the least, God's presence protects His people. It gives us rest, it gives us joy, it gives us courage in life's battles, and in our trials it helps us and then protects us. And then I'll be done with this one. Of course, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 17, Jehoshaphat and his people, the king of Judah, they were surrounded by their enemies from three different fronts. They had the coalition against Joshua to fight and defeat. Joshua goes, as we read in the book, he goes and falls flat before the Lord and says, Lord, I cannot do it. I cannot fight these enemies. And the Lord says, come on, Joshua. Oh, not Joshua. Jehoshaphat, get up. And Jehoshaphat got up. And then, of course, he promises him. He says, you will not have to fight. You won't even have to fight the battle. Just go down there tomorrow. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow. And the Lord will be with you. In the battlefield, you don't take your choir with you. These guys did. We know Joshua did. They had their choir fighting the battle. Of course, they didn't fight, but they were just praising. Because the presence of God was with them. And we read in the same chapter, when Jehoshaphat and his people went, God had already defeated the enemies. They fought against each other. And Jehoshaphat and his people's, his army's job was to pick up all the loot for 3 days. They did that and brought it home. What a battle to fight. Well, they didn't fight because the Lord said, you will not have to fight this battle. I will fight because the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's, right? We read that? In 2 Chronicles, we found that. God's presence does not promise us what it does not do. It does not promise us a problem-free life. Oh, now I've accepted Christ, so everything will be fine. Well, that's not what the Bible says. It does not. It does not promise that there will not be any death or sickness in the family or around us. No sadness. It does not promise that there will not be any hardships in life or there will not be a fiery furnace. Would have been nice, right? If as soon as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was sentenced to go into the fiery furnace, suddenly God would appear right there, this fourth person, and would say, stop. I am here to protect them. Then they won't have to go to the fiery furnace experience. But God allowed that to happen. Sometimes it happens that God does not save us from these things for his own glory. In chapter 8 of Acts we find, 7 and 8 we find, when the persecution took place, Stephen was able to see Christ standing at the right hand of God. Christ did not come down to protect Stephen, but Christ and God let Stephen die. He allows that to happen. It does not mean he has abandoned us. It does not mean he doesn't love us anymore. And at times we feel that way, that our God has left us. Where is he when we need him? His presence is actually with us. We just have to recognize that he has allowed this situation to go through. And he hasn't abandoned us. What it does promise, though, is that his presence will be with us and will help us get through these things. And in that case, we read 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, you, dear children, are not from God. You are from God and have overcome them. He's talking about the different trials and temptations and things like that. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. ISIS keeps on killing Christians. Where is God? Right? Has he abandoned his people? Tough question to answer. But if we look back into the Bible, we find, no, he hasn't. The ISIS story of killing Christians actually has brought glory to God in the rest of the world, as I've been traveling to different people, places. Those people who have not heard of Christ have been asking more about Christ. who are these Christians? Why are they being persecuted? And more gospel is going out, especially in the Asian countries. God has his own way of dealing with us. And at times we may feel we are put in a situation where we are alone, there is nobody to help. God's presence actually is with us to give us rest, to give us joy, to give us courage in life's battles, to give us, to fight the battles for us, to take care of us. Because the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. Let us pray, and I think Dr. Hartley is going to give the benediction after that. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for your presence. It is always with us because you said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you never lie. Your promises are always true. But Father, because of our situations, we at times forget that you are not with us. And we are alone, trying to fight the battle of life. And Father, while doing that, sometimes we panic and make wrong decisions, and we end up creating more issues for us. Grant us your grace, O Lord, to always, always, always remember that your promise is that you will not leave us nor forsake us, that you will take care of the battles that we face in our life, and that you are always with us, even in the fiery furnace. Because that's what your word teaches us. Help us, O Lord, to remember that, because we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.